episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Boom, we're back after show. Be told, 100%. That was fantastic, Rollo. That was a great song, too. There's Rollo. Are you there?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was an excellent ending. Yeah.
No, it's a really good song, though. And yeah. Peter Gabriel is out there.
I love that.
So that's interesting that Peter Gabriel also is tied in with Kate Bush, and they did an amazing song together.
We're not playing it.
I'm just saying that.
It's
not a mistake. If that's a mistake, it's such a cute mistake. I love it.
That's what I'm going for is cute.
Yeah,
by the way, do you guys want to know how St. Louis Cardinals went today? We lost 11-1.
9? 11-1.
11-1. I swear to God. And our Velocet boy, you know, his name's Nolan Gorman.
You said he's a spitting image of Joel.
He played like a chode today. Swing and a miss.
What's it?
Yeah.
What's a chode?
A chode means that you get up and you should be good.
In high school, a chode meant that your dick is wider than it is lengthwise. Like you've got, it's more stubby than it is longer, you know.
Oh, is that a chode?
That's what I always grew up with, a chode. Yeah, he's like, yeah. The circumference is larger than the length.
I
didn't know that.
The Australian slut of the year, Annie Knight, would know these dimensions guaranteed. She'd know about things after 587 of them.
Again, having, seriously,
587.
513, is that sperm going into her vagina or on her face?
They drink the male sperm, but I think they get splattered.
This young woman, Kirsty, a plaster transistor radio, so we can talk about porn. Oh, here we go. We've been joined by Greg Shantz,
welcome to the Rick and Roller After Show number 33.
G'day, Greg.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
All that clever, man. There he is. Knock him out. Thank you for that, Velocity.
He's always good, but when it comes to a sound grab, there's no one else that can knock him out that fast. And I've listened to a few shows over the years, and I'm telling you now, Joel, you are the man. Now, I keep blowing smoke up that man's posterior, and why not? So, we've got it's back again. And Rollo, are you still there? Are you still there? He's muted.
No, I'm there. All right, get it, Greg.
Oh, Rollo. We can see you, Greg. You're in Canada, I do believe. Not far from Ab, allegedly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, Rick.
Yes.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. Again. Thank you, Donald. Just west of Ab. Is it now? What is your warmest day that you've had this week? Have you had some decent weather?
Yeah, yesterday was about 22.
Fantastic.
22 Celsius.
You're listening to After Show 33. Yeah.
Truth Needs is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthneeds.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthneeds.com. Click on the donate.
You're listening to Rick and Rollo's after show of episode 33, and we've got Rick and Rollo and Greg Shantz all the way from Canada. Wow. And it's apparently 22, was it 22, did you say? 22
no, it's
degrees.
It's 7 now, but yesterday it was 22.
It cooled down. You know, we'll take the 22 if you know, because we don't. Actually, we do at the moment, it's actually quite cold in Australia where me and Rollo are. Down to about maybe 10 degrees worst, 15 maybe, and then up to 25. And the worst, that's our worst. 20 degrees, or sorry, 10, 15 degrees is our terribly cold. Terribly cold right. Where we are.
You're going into winter there now.
We're in winter. We're definitely in winter, and it's now... Tomorrow will be June the 1st, pinch and a punch, first of the month. And that's to what I would say the start of our winter. Interesting that I've got my calendar here. The Rollo, you know about Lunig, fantastic cartoonist from the who passed away. He was the only guy that got sacked in the media over here because he was reporting on the COVID scam, and he did that cartoon of Michael Lunig did a cartoon of a parody of the Chinese when that tank Tiananmen Square, but the tank had a giant needle on it, and there's a small little guy with a big nose standing there with a big needle pointing towards him, and he got sacked. And this is a guy that had been on the media 50 years. Or thereabouts, or, you know, 30 years, as one of the number one political cartoonists. He dared mention this needle thing. He got his job removed, and he died last year. Very sad. But the media, you can just, we were talking about it before. If you mention this, and they have to, nowadays, all these big shows that you listen to, and I'm talking about alternative media, if they want to bring up COVID, they have to code CODE everything because you will get your platform to remove. So they always say the V thing or the jibby jab or the whatever. So when anyone says that we're not going into dystopian censorship, you're not going to convince me. When I hear fairly big shows coding everything they say because they know that if they mention the word, the V word, which we know what that is, not vagina, V word, you're done for. You're gone. You're going to get censored and you get deplatformed.
It's not a vagina. It's asshole. And It's a disgusting asshole. Look, I've absolutely loved Rick and Rollo 33. I've got to have to go.
Yeah, hey, Rollo, it's been fantastic. Rollo, you've done a really good job. Rollo, you've done a really good job tonight.
Thank you, Greg, for joining us at the end. Thank you, Greg.
I've got a bit of time left in my
You got a bit of time left. Right, love you.
Yeah, hey Rollo,
I love you. I'll talk to you on Rick and Rollo.
Cocaine.
See you, man. Hey, Joel, that was really really good production. A really good show.
Thank you, thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Donald. Anyway, it's been fantastic, and I can keep chatting a bit.
Sure.
I noticed we just had a return of Benoit from Switzerland. Oh, yeah? The very first time he's come back for months. This morning there was an urgent message on the Rick and Rollo Discord saying, can someone send me a link to Fakeologist? And I think someone did. And he's now back over there. He's been this is a guy that's been fairly big on Fakeologist over the years, and definitely a moderator of some repute, and a guy that's his ex girlfriend saved my bacon a couple of times. I actually got kicked off Fakeologist by a rogue moderator. I'll just say that.
This is this
English guy that came on. You always got to watch out for people that come on to your platform and they want to become moderators.
Mm. Yeah, they want power.
They want power. And next thing you know, they start judging what your conversation is and telling you to actually move that one on. This particular guy came on and he said, change the subject. And I said, who the fuck are you to tell me this? And as soon as I said that, he kicked me off. Literally, he had me removed off the Fakeologist site. And Benoit's girlfriend at that stage, I think, was this chick from Birmingham who was really fantastic. She brought me back on there. And eventually, that by mysterious circumstances, the guy that kicked me off got kicked off himself. And I said, you can't, when these people come on with control powers if they haven't been on there for more than, I always say, if someone's done more than 3 years or so as a participant on a particular platform, if they start kicking people off your platform, you got to watch out for these guys, because this is definitely there's a the internet thing. That's why you'll always hear me saying, get off the internet, or try and read a book or buy a book or do anything, but just have a bit of reality in your life. Because I'm telling you, right now we're going to this AI thing where we are not going to be able to tell what's real or not from the news releases. And the other day, that show I listened to, Media Monarchy, they played a clip of what was allegedly Kennedy, the anti-vax Kennedy, or allegedly anti-vax Kennedy, what's his name, RFK Jr.
Yeah.
Him coming on and saying that they want to ban Chinese vapes because they're turning everyone gay in America. And it sounded identical to RFK Jr. And I went, is he really saying that? Look, I was questioning. And he said, no, it was completely AI. So the future of news and reportage, even on your alternative sites, you're going to have to question everything. And that's where I've been warning about the whole Fakeologist thing, you're going to have to not just query the shows you love the most could be putting out absolute fake stuff. using this AI thing. And that's what I'm trying to say, that Rick and Rollo, totally organic, no AI used. Be Told Show will guarantee
you. You'll never use AI. There'll never be any AI content on the Rick and Rollo show.
Well, sometimes we need to Google things, and I suggest Google could be partly AI sometimes. My show, there will never be me, even though I've spoken to several people recently, which does give me a bit of a fear that even people I know are using ChatGPT to summarize emails being sent to them by their insurance companies. And I'm like, well, if you lose that ability to read an email, that part of the brain's going to just waste away. You need to be able to read an email that gets sent to you, not summarize it really quickly and then send a response back. You need to do it without your computer. And that's my whole thing, is your conversation needs to be organic and from you, not Googling something. Say we need to find out what we were talking about, a movie and some. I can't remember. Me and Rollo, tonight, most of the time we could not remember what we were talking about. And we I didn't, but Rollo did Google something or other, and we found what we're asking. That's acceptable. But if you're actually summarizing or making your comments towards someone else using artificial intelligence, that is going to destroy you, because you need to have your brain as sharp as a tack and be able to actually respond to someone's email or actually read what the bank sent you yourself and go through it and summarize things yourself. If you're using ChatGPT, that's going to slow your brain down. And I'm just using the common thing of driving a car. If you can't drive a manual or a stick column shift, you will not be able to drive them. That's all you're going to be able to drive. This is what's heading our way with AI. They're going to make that part of your brain stop working if you're going to choose to. Yeah, that's the fear.
That Mad Magazine comic Fantastic. Called The Machine Stops, from one of the early issues of Mad Comics
when it was still a comic. Hey Ben, I've got every issue from 65 to 79. Every issue. Every issue.
I bought was in 1987, I think, or 88. And it had a 3 men and a baby on the front. So probably 88. Okay.
Yeah, about that. Well, I'm an authority on that magazine. I can tell you the whole history.
One of the first issues, when it was still a comic book, when it was edited by Harvey Kurtzman, there's a story in called The Machine Stops, and it's about this future world where everything is run by machines, and the people are just basically blobs in these little wheelchairs. Fly around. They can't do anything. And then someone says, what if the machine that fixes the machine that looks after us stops? And then it does stop at the end. And then the whole civilization falls apart at the end. And it was
going to happen.
Wallace Wood. Yeah, that's going to happen.
you have to say the exact figure, but how old are you, roughly? I'll say that roughly.
45, yeah.
Okay, so I'm 15. So I got 15 years on top of you. Now I started reading Mad about 71, thereabouts, back in the 70s, and I read it was Cracked magazine and Mad magazine.
I bought a Cracked magazine a couple of weeks ago at this antique store.
Yeah, man. Well, do yourself a favor, because
John Severin.
So he was called 007. He used to call himself 007 as a kind of a joke towards, James Bond or John D. But 007 was one of the best artists in Cracked magazine. So
and he was working up until he died at age 90 in 2012.
Well, interestingly, Al Jaffe, who did the Foldens on Mad Magazine, he died at 100.
103, like, 2 years ago.
103, yeah, incredible. Incredible.
Run.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. So, yeah, I'm big on this the comics. And I got my history of America knowledge via Mad Magazine. And it was their parodies of American history that, you know, I knew more about America, the whole Battle of Independence and everything like that, just by parody that Mad Magazine did in the 60s and 70s. And because when I did that history, was
written about American politics, Ronald Reagan, Dan Quayle, the dumb things Dan Quayle says in Mad Magazine.
Yeah, that was later in the piece, but But I'll tell you, one of the greatest American magazines ever was National Lampoon, which had absolutely look, honestly, you'll never be able to get away with any of the things that they were saying and the parodies they were doing back in the 70s. And National Lampoon ended up coming, you know, you saw those movies like Vacation and Animal House and stuff like that. But the actual magazine itself was written with, if you have a look at the writers that were doing magazines back in the 70s, you had absolutely A-class great journalists that were, you know, at university. They could have been I can't remember the university where National Lampoon was coming out of. It was, you know, you're talking about really
from Harvard, the Harvard Lampoon.
It would be Harvard. Yeah. And they were writing parody, and there were cartoons of the, like, the guy from, say, Public Enemy, the band Public Enemy, Chuck D, he was doing cartoons in National Lampoon in the 70s. He did a cartoon called Goobers, which was a parody. It was a black version of Peanuts. So instead of Peanuts, it was actually called Goobers, and they were all black characters. That was Chuck D that ended up becoming the main man from Public Enemy. Really clever guy too. You know, that guy is no dummy. You know, he's a really smart, excellent artist and good writer as well. And became, you know, and a major, we call it, major influencer in the 90s when Public Enemy came out of nowhere with a rap thing. But I have to say this, that that band, actually, I support their motives. You know, they were warning about rap music in their lyrics back in the, you know, the early 90s, saying this is all bad, you know, you're getting these, and warning about people that are now in the news at the come, what's his name, Puff Diddy, P Diddy, Puffy, Puffy, whatever. Sean Puffy Combs. They were warning you that this was coming, that these guys were being run by certain people in the industry, and they were going to sell you out and rip you off, and you were going to go broke, and these guys are going to make all the money. They said that, and they got into all sorts of trouble back in the 90s for saying that. They got that Professor Griff guy, who was warning, you know, because what he was saying was he was blaming a particular group of people who can quite obviously work out who I'm talking about. And he got, they had to sack him. They were told, you will never get any of your music out if you keep saying that. So Professor Griff got sacked. And then they became, but they actually still kept doing some good stuff. But I found satire magazines. There was Mad, Cracked, and one called Sick. There was one called, I had them all back in the day. I'm talking about the 70s.
It was here. Published by DC called Plop. I never saw that.
Plop had Sergio Androne's, I think, did all of that. Yeah. And he was incredible. I think he was a gifted Mexican artist.
He was actually originally from Spain, but his family moved to Mexico.
Interesting. Like, I don't know if you've ever, or actually, you're on Jade's site. One of the guys on there, that's Crumb, who's,
right.
Yeah, he knows this stuff. What I'm talking about here is like rare underground American comic artists. And one of the best back in the 60s was a guy called Spain, who does some incredible stuff. You also saw the Jewish. Who did Mouse, M-A-U-S, Gottfried? No.
Spiegelman.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to work out to do a show with Crumb, or he's changed his name now, but just talking about underground American comics. So I've got a lot of them. So do own a number of volumes of American underground comics. I've got British underground comics and English underground comic collection.
You know, and I still read 2000 AD. I read that.
Yeah, fantastic. That's Judge Dredd. You're listening to After Show of Rick.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
You're listening to Rick and the Rick and Rollo After Show number 33, and I'm talking to all the way from Canada, from not far from Ab,
From Greg, Greg Chance.
Is that German? Are you another German from Canada?
He's German.
What's that? Sorry.
German.
Oh, sorry, my head, actually, I have to move my... Actually, your microphone's not as good as what...
I'm using this microphone on the phone, holding my microphone.
I actually did that for the first 40 minutes on the Rick and Rollo show, because I've destroyed the plug-in that plugs into the phone, has been destroyed somehow, just by using it, and it's not a... Just shows you need to, if you're going to buy computer gear or even a phone, do not buy the cheaper option. And I bought a Samsung, the cheaper option, which is Samsung, but I've had to replace for $129. That's I had to replace the charging dock was not charging, and so this Chinese, Indian gentleman, he said to me, I can fix that $129. And I thought it's fantastic. But when I got out, now when I plug in my microphone or my headphone jack, the jack for the headphone is now exactly as bad as the charging dock. So obviously they're making things as, what's it called? Everything's got a built-in obsolescence.
Yeah.
If you do not buy top of the range, you've got about a year with a mobile phone. If it's not top of the range for the plug jacks and the charging jacks to stop working.
Problem with the one I have now is that the battery drains very quickly. I've been using it for more than 2 years. So.
Oh, wow, man, that's good. That's a good result. Yeah.
Replace the battery.
And that costs you, and that will cost you, guaranteed, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So underground comics and...
Underground comics. I was talking about underground comics with Crumb once,
He he's personally related to one of the greatest, and that's Robert Crumb, who literally was the, what we call an iconic comic artist of the 60s, of the highest magnitude. His stuff, and his logos, like the long headed guy, what's his name? Captain something or other. It was Mr. Freedom or Mr. Whatever. Mr.
Natural.
Mr. Natural.
The guy with the beard.
Yeah, the beard. That is a Crumb original. Crumb original. And so the guy is blood related, and I know because I've spoken to him on many different after shows. He actually has met some of the, like, I think he knew Spain, because Spain's fantastic. and as you said, the Mouse Guy, etc. Mm-hmm. These are really, really big back in the day. They're stickers. They're, you know, because basically, you know, you were back in the 70s, decals or, you know, patches that you'd sew into your jeans, they were massive. You know, like people would have stickers on their wall. You'd get the Mad magazine for free stickers, and you'd stick them on your school bag or your whatever. And to me, this is what we need to go back to. Say there was Truth Meets and Fakeologist stickers. You know, your stickers at places. People see it. It's there. It's a real – it's not AI. It's not AI. It's not artificial. It's a real piece of cardboard or a paper with a email address or a brand, and you stick it places. And people see it, and they go, oh, check that out. So there's a few people, like even IPS is talking about going back to hard copy and doing, he was for a while, and I've got my problems with him, but he's 100% on the money with going back into hard copy and press and doing an underground magazine. Yeah. And we call it an underground magazine is just something that's not being published by a major publishing company. It's just, you know, someone with a photocopier or whatever. Say you publish 1,000 copies of something, you stick the stickers in places, other people see them and they'll write that down or see it in their mind, or, you know, particularly if you start using what the elites are doing, using Babylonian symbolism and, you know, like triangles and Saturn logos and things like that. And you copy the same ones but put your logo with a Saturn logo over it. It'll do the same thing, go into people's minds.
I know you talk about the Paradox Press Big Book of Conspiracies.
I've got it. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Big book of books. I've got most of them.
I'll tell you now, I've got the Big Book of Thugs, the Big Book of Weirdos, the Big Book of Scandal, and the Big Book of Conspiracies right in front of me right now. And there's about five others.
Fantastic. Well, I was at a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the ones that I didn't have there, but I didn't remember which one I needed, so I didn't buy any.
Weirdos is really good. The Big Book of Weirdos. And that's got, you'll find Tesla is in Big Book of Weirdos, can you believe it?
Who's that?
Tesla. I think.
Oh, Tesla.
Yeah. And Jung, I think, is in Big Book of Weirdos as well.
Do you know that one, the Big Book of the 70s?
No, I haven't seen that. We've got Edward Lead Skullinen. Well, I've never heard of him before. I've actually read the book, but it's got the big books and Dali. It's got all the, you know, the great artists and Van Gogh, Clarabeau, Eric von Stroheim. But to me, the comic art way of contributing to or giving you a message in two pages with 20 panels will give you a full book of knowledge into your head, because as I say, the picture paints 1,000 words, literally, and there's no doubt about that. So you can get all the information you need from the Big Book of Conspiracies, even though it's actually full of a lot of disinformation, particularly Big Book of Conspiracies. It does a lot of stuff on UFOs and alien greys and stuff like that. But I quote that one about the Kennedy Lincoln.
Lincoln, Carter. Yeah, similarities.
If you read that and you see that and look at the pictures and read the coincident numbers and stuff like that, you've got all you need to know about media fakery right there. Boom. They're reusing the same exact numbers and patterns and, you know, birth dates and things like that. So you can, three pages of say there's seven on each side or eight on each side, you've got 3/8 of different panels with a picture with the numbers and with the what happened on that particular date. To me, that's an entire book written for you to get those the imagery that you're they're using the same exact patterns of numbers and people, et cetera, you know, and dates, and, you know, particularly the Lincoln and Kennedy one. That's the giveaway. That's the smoking gun.
Tried to make people connect Lincoln and Kennedy in their minds.
Well, it's very easy when you see the big book of conspiracies, three pages.
And why those presidents? Why not other presidents?
Oh, well, can you name me another president that got shot in the head on a Friday in front of his wife?
None of them.
No. Those two did. Yeah. And the guy that shot them had 15 letters in his name, and the guy that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he.
So you think that they're hoax assassinations? Like, do you really think that happened?
No, they're psychological operations. Yeah. That's what they are. Yeah. And
also, they want people to think that Kennedy was a great president, the same way that they've convinced Lincoln was a great president rather than a tyrant.
Yeah, that's at the end of the day, you've got to pick your choice of who you think was a good guy or a bad guy. But Lincoln was still to this day, you've got the Lincoln Memorial in America and his giant, huge, big marble statue of him with his arms, you know, folded sitting on a chair. It's everywhere. And so these are people that you needed to know about. And you needed to have these guys in your history, you know, and then you've got I haven't even looked into, you know, it is incredible the sculpture at where they've got, you know, Benjamin Franklin and all the other the big sculpture of on the rock of all those people.
Mount Rushmore.
I mean, that as an achievement in itself, if you have a look at a giant rock formation, you've got people out there chiseling away and making perfect imagery of your history onto rock. And that's why you got Rockefeller, and everything's rock and roll. It's, you know, it's part of your permanent psychological operation into your brain. But to do that, you know, straight out with the Egyptians with all those giant statues in Egypt. Sure. And they are really there, really giant statues. You know, they've moved a couple of them back in the – but it's just a reuse and modus of using rock to form your history and your beliefs.
Mm. It's a big influence on people.
Yeah, I'll about to say that there's no other bigger influence than rock, and the fact that those where was it? There was all these amazing Hindu statues, or not Hindu, Buddhist statues in Afghanistan in the in the 90s, and it said, "Oh, these rogue terrorists are blowing them up," and I was thinking, who could have provided these guys with a kind of armory to blow up giant rock statues to remove them off the of history than the American military or the British military? No one could provide that kind of armory to do that. And they were apparently some terrorist organization, like an ISIS, that were going around blowing up old Buddha statues in Afghanistan. Then you know that you're being lied to, and this is part of this removing history. They don't want you to see the previous lot of brainwash. They need to remove that right off the planet by blowing the pieces. And there's no one else that could provide that kind of infrastructure of explosive than the military. Or, you know, I'm talking about America or England. So it's not Russia. it's not Russia doing it. It'll be America or England that are making and providing the supposed terrorists.
The Smithsonian media extending their reach.
Exactly. It's a giant Smithsonian. Smithsonian. Anything to do with giants, anything to do with the things that they found when they were they were cutting rail tracks through parts of America and discovering all sorts of weird things. They were cutting into granite and finding, you know, bones and, you know, and then and they said, well, this, if it was in granite, it must be millions of years old, not, you know, 150 years old. And they were finding all sorts of stuff. And the Smithsonian had the those records of the giants. That they were, and this is a constant thing in every culture, giants, everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. And, but trying to go into a museum. Now, I've been to some of the best museums in the world. You will not see any of this stuff. I've been to, in France, the British Museum is a really good place to go, but it's been censored, I would say, 100%. But you can still find stuff. You will still find stuff of interest in these places. But you've got to have an open mind and just go, what they're telling me, I don't believe it. I'll make my own judgment.
Yeah.
You know, particularly about the... The stone they found allegedly explains all the hieroglyphs, you know, the Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, didn't, like, supposedly Napoleon find that?
Yeah, well, and you can walk into the British Museum, and it's there in a glass cage, right there, boom. Now, I don't believe they would actually allow that much of truth to be there for the public, you know. It's like there'll be a guarantee, you know. And they just stumbled upon it. Oh, this is the thing that explains all of the writing. There's some back in the day, I'm talking about nearly 10 years ago, on Fakeologist. There's really, really, really good cynics over there that actually destroyed the Rosetta Stone and all of that stuff. They've all gone now. There's none of them. Yeah, well, every now and then, maybe. They were saying this thing is just an absolute scam, and the French Napoleon went over there, and all of a sudden these new language got created, and it basically saying that it was actually came from the French that went over there. Dave's done a bit of stuff on this. There's a lot, but he and I think he was around a bit on Fakeologist. But look, I'm as baffled as I still. Say as Frank would agree with me, the older I get, the less I feel I know. The less I feel I know. Because I just go, this is so much bafflement going on. It's like you're just baffled about, you think you know something, and next you know someone will come along and say, boom, boom, and knock it out of the park. And but there was definitely better stuff getting done 2015, so it's now... 10 years ago, yeah, 10 years ago, better stuff getting knocked out over there. It makes you more query everything, but you can't query everything because you need to understand you exist as a person. Mm-hmm. You exist as a person. You function. You breathe. You really are a person. There are people who suggest no, you're an imagination and you're a part of a it's just a computer program. And I always tell these people, why don't you climb up a tree and jump off and then tell me that you're a part of a computer program? No, you're going to end up with a broken neck or dead. So you really are a person. You really exist. And this is the important thing. You need to understand that you really exist and there are queries, questions that you need to get answers to, but it's not by thinking that you are an... Everything's a matrix and you're part of a computer program. If you fall over, you hurt your knee and you're limping for a week, you really feel pain. That's not an imagining. It's not in your imagination. It really is happening. So.
Could be.
I would suggest that, again, to these people that say everything's a climb up, on the top of your roof and jump off and then tell me what you feel. If that's an illusion, I don't want to be part of that illusion. I'm suggesting best to stay not jumping off your roof, believe that you're actually a real person and try and avoid hurting yourself, because pain is real and it lasts for a long time if you decide to do this stupid thing. Mm.
Pain is healing. It's, your body starts healing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's try it. Let's try it. Because only because you hurt yourself, though. So you're not part of a matrix and an illusion. You actually did hurt yourself, and you actually cracked your bone in your leg, which is part of your body, and it's going to, you know, whatever you do. So I'm not there with this matrix thing, even though, as you would know, I've spent time on that film. That was just a complete operation. A complete operation.
A complete operation. What kind of an operation?
Well, it's revelation.
Psychological operation.
Definitely not revelation of a method. It was just confusing the masses. So they started doing this whole Hollywood thing back in the day. But the Matrix really did. It was, you're listening to After Show.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
What a great voice you have. What a great voice you have. And you're listening to... And all the way from Canada, the great
special appearance.
Yeah, with a bad microphone. It's Mr. Greg Shantz with a bad microphone.
My bad microphone.
That's all right. I can hear you. I can hear you, so it's all good. Now, I'm not much longer for this realm. Not much longer for this realm, but okay. Talking about the Matrix was kind of the capstone of the X-Files. So the X-Files got everyone. So I'll tell you how it worked. It started in 73, 74 with In Search Of and all these other, you know, Bermuda Triangle. Getting you into this.
You used to hear a lot about the triangle. It used to be a big thing.
It was non. I'll tell you now. Well, you would know. It was non-stop. In the 70s, Bermuda Triangle was non-stop in your face, part of the conversation. Then you had Spielberg's Close Encounters, which got you into alien greys and these big, tall, skinny things that were all Crowley, guaranteed. And then it went into Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World, which was also, you know, on every Saturday, every Saturday.
The Crystal Skull.
Crystal Skull, yeah, that's on the cover of the book, yeah. And then you had In Search Of with Spock doing his
Leonard
stuff.
Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy, yeah, major guy that was part of your, and I'll go right back to the 60s. You had Dr. Spock telling you how to raise your children.
Benjamin Spock.
Benjamin Spock and Dr. Spock. So people confused by NLP, Mr. Spock and Dr. Spock as being the same person to trust, you know, that Mr. Logic himself, you know, Leonard Nimoy, who was, you know, a Vulcan, you know, the Virgo.
The planet too, Vulcan. I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a Virgo. It's the ruler of Virgo. Yeah, so.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And there's a. So he came out, and all the kids, my generation in the 70s, were watching In Search Of. We had Arthur C. Clarke, and we had all these, you know, other bits and pieces getting him ready. And for the 90s, which came about, and the 80s and 90s, the 80s, late 80s, so X-Files came out.
93,
yeah. And so Chris Carter, CC, 33. Born, his company was 311. It was called, allegedly his birthday was October the 3rd. And that's why he called his company 311. And it was, say, so, yeah, you're 311, boom, 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 boom. Everyone was into the UFOs. And then the internet went rogue about 95, 96, and it became, and Apple put out those special little rounded computers. The internet came out. At the same time, Foxtel came out, and that Foxtel was another 666 with Fox and Fox Mulder, 666. Same thing, 666. And you were into these unknown and UFOs, and I was part of, I kind of woke up, though, way earlier than a lot of people. I was into UFOs in the 70s, and I suddenly realized that we've been conned. And then, what's his name, Fantastic, who's now, he did Behold a Pale Horse.
Oh, Bill Cooper.
Bill Cooper, he was around. There was all, you were getting your information from sets, they were getting it shared around from your friends, and all of a sudden the internet arrived, rabbit hole after rabbit hole, waiting for you to fall down, be it to Flat Earth, be it into, Mandela. This is, I'm talking about the 2000s here. And you were going to be swallowed up. And they managed to corral us. There's a word for it where you're getting digitally corralled into different.
Maybe.
Well, guardrail, IPS uses, but it was more, there's another term that was
digital corralling.
Digitally corralling, yeah. So you're ready to go into all these you might have had the same opinion as me paying the same opinion as you, but you also had fallen down three or four other rabbit holes, and so you'd actually never, you'd be sitting in a hotel, maybe if you were lucky, having a conversation, but you also believed that there was the moon was a hologram because you'd been listening to another one of these different shows. And so everyone was cool. They're all kept separate. And we've been kept separate because there's so many interesting conspiracy theories out there. And those books, like Big Book of Conspiracies, Big Book of Weirdos, they all had
Big
you
Book
ready.
Of the Unexplained, that's another one.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, one of the most interesting ones I've got in my collection here is Space Aliens from the Pentagon by who wrote that? And William R. Lying. But it's actually about the Pentagon is responsible for you thinking about aliens. That's what the end game in that book is. Hard to get now. I've got it. So by 1997, 98, you were in the X-Files, you were in all the stuff, the internet's come out, and all of a sudden Flat Earth comes out, it was 2015, but they basically corralled my generation, the Generation X, to be ready to fall into many different rabbit holes. And it happened. Sure. And now we're online arguing with each other. And that's what I've been trying to tell on fakeologist.com. I say, I may not agree with one person I'm talking to, but I have common ground with other people. But they just want you to fight and argue with each other on different platforms. So basically, you're never going to get anywhere. You're just going to go around these figure eights or circles or whatever. You're not going to have a – and so they basically got all the people that have woken up into so many different rabbit holes that that's the way we are now. We were all – they're disagreeing. Look, I bump into people that are all – me and you would consider awake, and I'm getting don't worry, everything's good. Just eat your popcorn. It's all going to be fine. That's going on. You've got – it's just – left, right, and centre, what do you call it? They found the people that are waking up and then made them go into different pits of despair where you're just arguing with each other. Instead of having a common denominator, that's fake, this is fake, or this is real and that's not real. And yes, you might be into this and that, but all this, but deep down, you actually don't believe that. You've heard that person's Crowley hero or, you know, stuff about Crowley. It was just disinformation. So we're just absolutely going around circles and we're not going anywhere at all. We're just sometimes there's good conversations to be had. And look, me and you talking about underground comics or things like that, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Anyway, dude, I'm going to go.
But, okay, good talking to you.
Really good conversation, man.
I know you read comics. So I want to talk to you about comics.
Hey, Ben, well, do yourself a favor. Well, I'll be on tomorrow night on the Fakeologist show about six, about the same time as tonight. So if you want to come on, do a chat about
that. Depends on if I wake up in time or not.
I know it's really hard. This is the problem, the tyranny of distance. There's so many people I'd love to have conversations with. There's a Solar Speaks and stuff like that. But he's awake when I'm asleep and I'm awake when he's asleep. So it's really difficult. But occasionally Twain does meet. But either way, man, we'll do it.
Okay.
And if we have to do it next week, it won't be next week, the week after. I'm away next week. I won't be doing any shows, but we'll do something like comics. And I can talk about it. And I'll tell you, I'll give you some subjects. The guy that did the original Uncle Scrooge, Charles Barks, Carl Barks? That's the conversation I'd like to have because that guy is absolutely fantastic. So if we want to talk about
the Disney Ducks. Send me some info.
Disney Ducks, yeah. Really good stuff, man. But he was really, really clever. And he died at 100 and something or other as well.
100 years old in 2000, I believe. No.
Yeah.
He was,
yeah,
around, I think it was 99.
99, yeah. No surprise there. But his stuff and his writing and his artwork is just absolutely fantastic. I've got nothing bad to say about him. Anyway, I'm going to go. But think about those subjects.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow, or if not that, sometime in the future.
Tomorrow night. I'll definitely be on tomorrow night.
Okay, maybe we'll see you then.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. Over and out. Bye.